We are proud to partner with MyFlex Learning. MyFlex Learning is a scheduling platform that helps middle and high schools meet the individual needs of all students. Students can easily create and manage time for flex blocks, wind time, activity periods, RTI, counselor and teacher appointments, and so much more. Even my favorite, synergy time. And with its built-in accountability tool and reporting features, MyFlex Learning solves your challenges around getting kids where they need to be and understanding how flex time is spent. Make flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/BE to learn more and receive $500 off your first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE. This B Podcast Network show is presented by IXL. IXL's all-inclusive online teaching and learning platform simplifies edtech needs and accelerates achievement in 95 of the top 100 U.S. school districts. IXL delivers personalized learning across a comprehensive pre-K-12 curriculum, including math, language arts, science, and social studies, and helps you assess student performance through actionable, real-time insights at every level of your school or district. This one solution performs work that typically requires dozens of tools. Want to find out why so many leading districts trust IXL? Visit IXL.com/BE. That's IXL.com/BE. Welcome to Transformative Principal, where I help you stop putting out fires and start leading. I am your host, Jethro Jones. You can follow me on Twitter at Jethro Jones. Welcome to Transformative Principal. I am your host, Jethro Jones. You can find me on all the social networks at Jethro Jones. And Transformative Principal is a proud member of the B Podcast Network, the best educational podcasts out there. Check out all our shows at bpodcast.network. Today, I'm excited to have on the show Alyssa Gallagher. She's the author of the book, Embracing Messy Leadership, How the Experience of 20,000 School Leaders Can Transform You and Your School. She is also the co-head of BTS Spark North America. That is a not-for-profit practice focused on bringing executive-level coaching to every school leader. Alyssa, welcome to Transformative Principal.
Thanks, Jethro. Happy to be here.
Thank you. And if you remember, Alyssa has been on Transformative Principal before. So there's a link to her other interview from a couple of years ago in the show notes at transformativeprinciple.org. Alyssa, what is your takeaway from our conversation today? What is so valuable that people don't want to miss?
So what I think, there was a lot of parts that were so valuable, Jethro. I love this conversation. What really stands out for me is just wanting leaders to really hear that they're not alone, that while they might feel isolated leading their building or leading their district, the comfort of knowing the challenges that they're experiencing are really universal and having the opportunity to hear about those challenges from other leaders.
So true. I love that. For me, what really stands out is the idea that you have to carve out time to reflect. And it is so easy to go from the second you get there until the second you leave being totally slammed every single day. And it doesn't have to be that way. You can be more in control of yourself and your time. And when you have that ability and you actually take that time, you can find some really powerful things. So pay attention to that part and see how it applies for you in your daily life. We will get to my interview with Alyssa here in just a moment. If you've been listening to Transformative Principal for any amount of time, you know that I have a love-hate relationship with EdTech. We have the ability to personalize learning for every single one of our students, and yet so many of our EdTech tools fall short. We need our technology to do more for us. That's why it's so important for me to know that IXL provides true personalized learning across the entire pre-K-12 curriculum, and that it's proven to benefit all student populations, including English language learners and students in special ed programs. As a principal, I've used this in my school. As a parent, I've had my children use it as well. And let me tell you, this is a tool that definitely helps students learn and practice better. IXL is research proven to accelerate achievement. Studies across 45 states show that IXL schools outperform non-IXL schools on state assessments, and independent research from Johns Hopkins University verifies that IXL meets ESSA Tier 1 standards. With those results combined with IXL's teacher-friendly reputation, what more could you ask for? Now, you also know that I don't care so much about test scores, but I know that they are legislatively convenient and something that we have to deal with and manage on a day-to-day basis. If you can implement something that is easy and effective, why wouldn't you do it? If you have a goal to increase achievement for all students, make sure to find out what IXL can do for you. Visit IXL.com/BE for a demo. That's IXL.com/BE. Well, Alyssa, I think a good place to start is the title of messy leadership. We all know that leadership is messy, but messy means something different to you than probably to the rest of us, right?
Yes. And I would say, like, you know, part of the reason that we coined the acronym MESSY is because we do believe that all of us in schools and school leadership, there is just an inherent mess to it, right? It's not a nice, neat package of leadership. It's messy in the sense that we're working with a lot of people. People are messy. We're working with a lot of complex problems and you know, all really important work, but all very messy work. With that said, we also coined messy. So we wanted to play on the sense that we believe that leaders do feel, especially school leaders, feel that their work is messy. But what we also wanted to capture in messy leadership is really put forth an aspirational model of school leadership that's much more collaborative, adaptive, and future-focused than maybe previous models.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about that. What do you mean by an aspirational model rather than whatever it was before?
Yeah. So all of this, all of our research is grounded in the coaching work that we do at BTS Spark. And the coaching work that our coaches, we have 300 coaches that work with school leaders, it's all around shifting mindset. And so in messy leadership, in each one of the letters, you know, it's an acronym. So each letter stands for sort of an aspect of leadership. For example, M is meaning making, you know, E is emotional connection, S is sensing the future, the second S is seizing momentum, and the Y is probably the most important letter of the acronym. It's your presence. So really speaking to who the leader is. So in each one of the letters of that acronym, there's sort of a foundational mindset, sort of like, hey, this is how you might have been working, but let's shift that frame into a more aspirational mindset.
Well, and the thing that I think about when I think about aspirational is that it's something that we want to achieve at some point, but that it's possible we never will. Do you share that perspective, or do you think people can get to your level of leadership?
I do think that they can. Is there ever like hitting perfection? No, right? So I think there will always be, as leaders, more to attain, something to aspire to. But we've written it in a way that there are elements that are achievable. And for each letter in the acronym, we've also provided some really practical examples of, hey, here's how you can shift. Here's how you can start to shift your mindset. And here are some behaviors that you can take to help you, you know, kind of think of it as a continuum and kind of move your way towards the more aspirational mindset.
Yeah. And the thing that I would add to that is that even if you, you know, get to that ideal state, by being in that ideal state, you're going to see what is next and what you can do next, because you don't know what you don't know yet, right? And so you have to go to that level, and then you can learn more about whatever it is that you need to accomplish to find success, right?
100%. Yeah. There's always more to learn, always more to grow and do.
Yeah. And it's a never-ending process, which I find incredibly fascinating and very fun to think about. What I wanted to do is just dive in a little bit deeper to a few of these. I just sounded like AI, but I promise that was not AI generated. That actually came out of my own mind. I want to get to talking about your presence, because I think that's incredibly powerful. But I want to start with the idea of emotional connection and building trusting relationships with people so that you can give and get feedback as well. Let's talk about emotional connection and what you feel is so vital there.
Yeah, emotional connection, you know, this, so just before, can I back up a little bit?
Of course.
And just say, you know, the MESSY model, our research in MESSY really started at the start of the pandemic. We were really intrigued and captivated and curious about what leaders were experiencing. At the time, we were coaching 1,000 leaders. And so we had a really unique perspective into what their experience was. We realized then that, yes, hopefully the pandemic is in our rearview mirror soon. It keeps getting a little further and further away, but there will always be for leaders sort of the next crisis, you know, the next hurdle in their community or in their state or nationally or globally that they're having to address. And so we really ended up zooming out and looking at a more holistic view and looking at, you know, we have data from over 20,000 school leaders we've coached. And so I think that's really important because emotional connection, when we think about leaders, our expectation of leaders, maybe even a decade ago, might have been, if you asked people, you know, what's important in a leader, there would have been a sense of sort of leaders having a professional veneer. You know, it's business here. We leave home, we leave our personal outside of our workplace. You know, leaders feeling the need to establish themselves as sort of larger than life or less human, perhaps. And, you know, what we found in our research is that really what leaders, the most successful leaders are doing is they're establishing this emotional connection. You know, there's a blurring of line between who I am as a person is how I'm going to show up as a leader. And so personal and professional are more blurred. Leaders are the leaders that are most successful are the leaders that are willing to be more vulnerable, you know, are willing to kind of co-create and have these deeper, meaningful relationships with people on their staff and on their team. And so it's kind of the uncommon sense, you know, sometimes leaders, one of the things that leaders really struggle with is having the courage to have really deep and honest conversations. And yet the irony in that is having those deep and honest conversations are actually what builds trust. And so we, you know, that's one example is the shift in emotional connection is sort of shifting from as a leader, and this is a good place to be, like, I'm focused on my relationships with my team and all of my stakeholders, to like an elevated, more aspirational is like, I have the courage to really build deeper and more honest relationships within my school community. I'm not just going to build this like culture of nice to suffice, right? Like I'm actually going to tackle some really hard things, but do it in a emotionally responsive way that builds trust and builds greater connections.
Yeah. Boy, you said so much in there that I want to just pick apart, but I'll have to save that for later. One of the things that you hinted at is this idea of authenticity, and that authenticity comes when you are vulnerable with people. They want to see the real you. And I think the way that we have thought about that before is that we've thought too much that the leader is this perfect caricature of whatever our ideal imagination of this is. And we have to recognize that they are a real person just like us. And we have to accept that. That goes both ways, though, with those that we're leading and with those that are leading us. And the real power comes from that when you can be honest and real about who you are and what you're experiencing without it being about judgment or about, well, you can't do this because of whatever. So one of the guests I've had on the show is Craig Randall, who does trust-based observations. And he's taking this idea of building trust, being authentic, and being real with people and taking it into the classroom for observations and tying it into the evaluation framework. And it's so much more powerful because it starts with the emotional connection rather than starting with the rubric or the evaluation model or whatever it is, so that the point is trust. And when the point is trust, then you can do incredible things. Can you share a story or two where that trust has been there and how that's, and that emotional connection has been there and that's made it possible for people to do things that they didn't think were possible before?
Yeah. Let me think if a specific example comes to mind. You know, I love, and I'll have to look into Craig Randall's work. I love that trust equation is being brought into the observation and evaluation lens, because I think so many times it's set up to be sort of this scary, negative, judgmental experience. I remember being a teacher and having my principal walk in, you know, or even being a principal to school and having my superintendent come to visit and feeling this judgment that like you clam up. And, you know, with emotional connection, when the trust is there, it's sort of capturing heart and head, right? Of we learn best from people when that connection is there. And the other part of emotional connection is realizing that when we have these honest and real conversations, it's not all feedback is all not all negative. Right? It should be balanced as well. And so we in messy leadership, in the emotional connection, we share some tools of around how can you really dig in and have greater empathy. We use what we call the presence triangle. And how can you start to really think about the other person and in how you're delivering your message, right? And sometimes it's timing, sometimes it's body language, sometimes it's, there's so many pieces that go into having somebody be receptive to an open and real conversation. But I just know that it's so much more powerful and meaningful when both parties can come to the table with authenticity. But it has to, the stage has to be set by the leader because of the power dynamic. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And the leader, because of the power dynamic, they have to go sometimes even more extreme to say, it's safe for you to do this too, because nobody wants to admit to their leader that they're not perfect. You know, even though they know, we still don't want to admit it and we want to hide behind it. Tell us a little bit more about the presence triangle.
Yeah. So the presence triangle it's a tool that we use. One of the things, our goal in writing messy leadership, one, most importantly, is for leaders to see themselves in it. You know, I want leaders not to feel isolated. I know that, you know, having been both a site level leader and a district level leader, at different points, I definitely struggle with imposter syndrome, with thinking that, am I the only leader that's struggling with this? So we want leaders to feel seen. You know, we start by uncovering sort of the top challenges that leaders globally are experiencing. And then our goal is to provide very action-oriented tools. So one of the tools in emotional connection you asked around the presence triangle, it's a simple tool where we encourage people to think about, you know, maybe a challenging relationship they have, or maybe a problem, a conflict that they know is brewing. And it's sort of a process. It's a three-step process they go through. A first, you know, kind of like taking a deep breath and thinking about that relationship, you know, thinking about how they view the person, their relationship, kind of getting clarity there, and then moving kind of, and even sometimes physically moving, and now really thinking from the perspective of the other individual. You know, what are they, if they're looking back at you, what are they seeing? What are they thinking? And then a third place is to then step outside of the relationship as an outside observer, and what, you know, look at the leader and the individual. It makes so much more sense with a visual, but you get the point. And then, you know, as an outside observer, what do you notice about this relationship? And then what do you want to do about it? So it's a very quick exercise that really can be used to improve any relationship. What I love about that is it's not only in the workplace, it can be used, you know, with your partner, with your kids, with friends. Like, we're all human beings. And so what we're trying to bring out here too is the human side of leadership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so glad that we went a little bit deeper there, because I think that ties into the piece about your presence and how important it is for you to know what is holding you back. It's if you are doing the presence triangle and you're thinking about yourself, and then you're thinking about the other, and then you're thinking about the outside perspective, and you can't see their perspective or the outside perspective, it's going to be really hard to get anywhere. And so you have to be able to see what's holding you back so that you can overcome that and be the kind of leader that your people need. What else should we know about the your presence part of messy leadership?
Yeah, so the first part of your presence, I think, for leaders is just to know how much like you matter. You matter. You're not alone. You bring incredible strengths and gifts to this role that are really needed. Leadership, we need you. Like schools need you. Districts need you. Our kids need you. And you're not alone. You know, there's support that's available. So really interesting, when we uncovered, you know, coaching creates a very confidential space. Leaders get to bring authentic problems, what they're struggling with, into these coaching sessions. And so on the back end of this, we have the anonymous data to show us, well, what are leaders really struggling with? And really kind of interesting, and this leads into your presence, of some of the top challenges that leaders struggle with. Number one, and we kind of touched on this a little bit already, is the courage to have difficult conversations, right? Just simply the courage. Mm-hmm. And this is across all levels of leaders. This is not just, you know, brand new assistant principals or brand new principals. This is across all levels, all number of years of experience, courage to really tackle the difficult conversations. The second theme is empowering and coaching others, you know, not running around and fixing everybody's problems. I think in some ways, as educational leaders, we've almost taken servant leadership too far, mm-hmm. that we're actually like depleting ourselves. And I think that's why, you know, leadership, educational leadership, we've created these roles that people, we expect them to be superhuman almost. And it's exhausting, you know?
If I can just get back to the third in a second, but that idea of servant leadership taken too far, that is a very real issue where I've coached some principals recently who feel like they cannot ask their teachers to do anything besides teach day to day. They can't ask them to take leadership roles. They can't ask them to support other initiatives within the building. And it's such a missed opportunity. One of the good examples of that was during COVID, that the principal needed to do all the contact tracing. And that is not a good job for the principal to be doing, because they have a lot of other things that they need to do, and they should not be sitting on the phone or at their desk all day long. And yet that was what they needed to do. And a principal told me just last week, I could not ask anybody else to do it. Who else would be able to do that besides me? And I was like, I can think of a lot of people who could do that. And that's not you saying this is the best use of my time. That's you saying this is a task that needs to be done. And I don't feel comfortable asking anybody else, which is a leadership issue. That is not a process issue. That's a leadership issue of you not feeling confident to ask anybody else. And anything that's good that we take too far then becomes bad. And being a pleaser and saying, I don't want to put anybody out, and so I'm going to just do this all. And then they end up working themselves completely to death and not ever taking any time for themselves to make sure that they are there and ready to serve others in the way that they actually need to be served, not in the way that the leader thinks they need to be served, even though the leader could be taking away autonomy and ability from other people as well. So that's just my little tiny soapbox. We could go on about that if you want, but you can go back to number three.
You are so spot on with that. You know, I do think that it's gotten worse, our expectations of leaders. And I think leaders, because most leaders care so much about their staff, they care so much about their students, there is this sense of, let me take things off your plate. But unfortunately, there's no more space on their back, right? And so that is, you know, it's interesting. You talked about being a pleaser. One of the things that we share in your presence is we share 6 mind traps that really get in the way of leaders being their best self. One of the mind traps is pleaser. Like if you're trying to make everybody happy, like that's actually going to interfere with your ability to lead. And there's 6 of them, but the 2 most common mind traps among educational leaders are pleaser and martyr.
Interesting.
Right? So really interesting to think about. And so, and we see this in coaching. Leaders are bringing this to their coach saying like, I can't do it all. I need help. I need to figure out how to empower others, how to co-collaborate with others. I can't fix everybody's problems. That's the number 2 theme. Do you want to hear a few of the other themes?
Let me say one more thing real quick, because you talk about taking things off of people's plates. And I agree, we need to take things off of people's plates. And rather than putting it on somebody else's plate, we need to really seriously consider if it needs to be on anybody's plate at all. And that's not a comfortable conversation, because that pleaser in each of us is also saying, I can't say that this is not important, even though I may know that it's not important. I can't say that because I need to be a good soldier or need to play along or whatever the case is. But the reality is we're doing a lot of things that are just not worth our time or energy. They're not worth anybody's time or energy, but we still do them because that's the way we've always done it.
100%. And I think Peter DeWitt has some really interesting work right now on, I think it's de-implementation, right? Like let's like de-implement some of this stuff.
Yeah. Let's talk about flex time in schools. If you've been listening for a long time, you know how important I think this is. It gives us more time for personalized learning, increasing choice and agency for students, and the increased enrollment that comes with it, dedicated time for intervention and enrichment. And overall, as school leaders, it gives us and our faculty more tools to increase academic achievement. But the implementation and management of flex time can be so tough. Tricky logistics and a lack of clear accountability systems can prevent teachers from buying in and can hold us back from ensuring students make good use of their time. I'm pleased to share that MyFlex Learning provides a solution to these challenges and more. MyFlex Learning helps you create and manage flexible time for any purpose. And with seamless SIS integration, a student locator, flexible daily rostering, and an intuitive mobile app, it eliminates the common challenges of implementation and management. Want to see for yourself? Visit myflexlearning.com/B to learn more about it and receive $500 off the first year of use. That's myflexlearning.com/BE. All right, yeah. Let's hear some of the others.
Okay, so the third theme that leaders are asking for support in is, how do I really engage others in influencing a change of practice? How do I influence other people's? You know, that's really, in most cases, leaders get through things done through influence. How do I influence others to change their practice or mindset? And so we provide some tools there. Number four, lack of confidence. Lack of confidence, questioning their abilities, and overcoming imposter syndrome. You know, feeling like, am I really the one that's supposed to be here? Like, is somebody else better suited to do this job? It really is a big issue for leaders. And so we dive into that in the Your Presence chapter. And then the fifth theme is slowing down. You know, our most leaders feel like they are just reactive from the moment they arrive to school to the moment they finally close their laptop, probably too late at night at home, sending that last email, that they're just reacting. And so this is really a theme of slowing down to move from being so task-oriented to being more people-oriented and reframing how we spend our time. So actually the second S, seizing momentum, really is in helping leaders reframe. The shift here is about you actually have more freedom with your time than you realize.
Yeah.
You know, we all know, and I'm not going to pretend that leaders aren't juggling, you know, 2,000 balls all at the same time, but really trying to understand which ones can you drop that'll bounce. You can pick them back up later. And which ones will absolutely shatter, you know, that you have to keep. And the number that you have to keep up is probably a lot less than what leaders are expecting of themselves.
Yes, absolutely. That is so true. And it's something that as I've coached principals myself for so long, that's something that comes up again and again. I can't not do this because I need to get it done. And one of my practices is I don't do anything unless the district asks for it three times. They have to ask for it three times for me to really take it seriously, because I've spent too much time responding to what they say they need and them not using it for whatever they said was so urgent 2 weeks ago. And that is, you know, probably not good advice to give to people, but at the same time, like, just recognize that somebody saying I need this report or I need this information or whatever, it really is not your problem if they feel like they need it. And sometimes you have to say, this isn't the necessity right now. You don't need all of our discipline data from the last 2 years, because it's all in our student information system, you have access. You can go pull that if you really need it. And that's not a comfortable thing to say, but that is sometimes exactly what needs to be said so that people recognize that they can't, you can't have all these balls in the air. And that's one of those balls that can drop and bounce for sure. And I love that analogy of some drop and bounce and some drop and shatter. You can't let the ones that drop and shatter fall. Or you can, and then you just got to clean up the glass. And that's a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and so we offer some tools in Seizing Momentum for how, you know, a prioritization matrix. How do you really prioritize what's urgent, what's needed, what can be delegated, and what doesn't need to be done mm-hmm. to really help? And so, you know, the messy framework and the way that we approach writing this book is it's meant to be something that leaders can dive in and out of. We actually don't recommend reading it from start to finish. Maybe because I was a big fan of choose your own adventure books mm-hmm. back in third grade, but that's, you know, every leader has their own unique context with which they're leading. And we wanted this to be an actionable kind of practical toolkit where you can think about the problem that you're experiencing and dive into that. You know, pick up some tools that you can implement very easily. Hear some real quotes from other leaders who have either used that tool or expressed frustration around the same problem. So you kind of also build this awareness of, I'm not alone. You know, leaders everywhere are struggling with this prioritization of time. Or I'm not the only leader that's having a crisis of confidence right now.
Yeah.
You know, it happens, and here's something I can do about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that you're making me think about a lot is the idea of judgment versus blameless discernment, and how so many times we have this judgment of ourselves or of those that we work with, where we feel like we need to judge the situation, judge the intention, judge the motives. And really what we need to do is blamelessly discern what happened. And the difference is that judgment carries penalties with it, that when you're judging someone, you are making a condemnation about what they did, why they did it, and assuming that you know the thought process behind that. When you're blamelessly discerning, you're recognizing this person did this and this was the result. And if I didn't like it, I need to do something about it. If I did like it, I should probably tell them that was a good job, you know, and having that different approach. And where that has been really powerful for me is helping principals see when you are blamelessly discerning versus judging, you don't get tied up in the drama of it. You don't get caught up in the emotion of the situation, and you're able to take a step back and see it for what it is and see a different perspective. And you don't have to then make people feel badly because they acted in a certain way or didn't live up to your expectations or whatever the case may be. And it's just a really freeing way to look at things that, you know, you can't change it anyway. So judging somebody for it doesn't really help.
Yeah. Can I offer a slight add-on to that? One of the things that we know from our research and a tool that we share with leaders is that we all actually have two voices in our head that stop us from being our best version of a leader. One voice is the judge, and the judge is judging ourselves. So, you know, you think about any recent interaction that you've had or a meeting you've been at, and you leave, the judge in you is saying, oh, well, you know, that was a really stupid comment, or why did you do that, or what were you thinking? You also have a pessimist voice in your head. And so we encourage leaders to get real clear on these voices and to call them out and to say, we know this is happening. What's your internal judge saying? And what's your internal pessimist saying? And then to zoom out and go, okay, but what's actually true? Mm-hmm. You know, we all have a realist voice too. What's actually true? And if it's not true, then we can go ahead and squash those. We can diminish the realist and the pessimist voice that lives within all of us.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you. I like that. That's good. So last question. You got a lot of experience, got a lot of advice. What is one thing that a principal can do this week to be a transformative leader like you, Alyssa?
One thing. I think that the easiest and the hardest that leaders can do is carve out time. Time to reflect. I really think that spending whatever amount of time, whether it's 5 minutes, whether it's 10 minutes, 10 minutes might be a luxury, but honest, carved out reflection time to reflect on why we do this work we do, the good that we've done in the day. I think so often, well-intentioned leaders, we're so focused on being task-oriented and our to-do list that is 2 miles long that we're not giving ourselves sort of the care and feeding that we need as a leader to keep us really connected to the why of the work and all of the good that we are doing.
Beautifully said. And I just want to add a little bit to that. In that time to carve out, to reflect, slowing things down and not feeling like you got to, you know, make every decision right this moment. You mentioned that before, and I just want to reiterate that. Carve out time to reflect and slow down and think before you act. That's so powerful. So, all right, Alyssa, thank you so much. This was great chatting with you. The book is Embracing Messy Leadership. You can get it anywhere books are sold, and there's a link to it in the show notes at transformativeprinciple.org. Alyssa, thanks so much for being part of Transformative Principle today.
Thanks, Jethro.
Do you want to simplify your school's technology, save teachers time, improve students' performance on state assessments? You can do it all, but don't waste another minute. Head straight to IXL.com/BE to learn how IXL's research-proven teaching and learning platform can help you achieve all these goals. That's IXL.com/BE. There are lots of solutions out there for giving students what they need when they need it. But when do they actually do all of those things? You need flexible time. When added into your master schedule, flex time enables students to get extra help or intervention, meet with teachers, make up work, get physical exercise, and try new enrichment offerings. If you're thinking of giving it a try, check out MyFlex Learning, which unlocks the benefits of flexible time without all the headaches you get with it usually. Its intuitive design and SIS integration makes implementation and training a breeze. Make your flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/BE to learn more and receive $500 off your first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.